Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
Our first reading this morning is from Proverbs. Do not put yourselves forward in a king's presence, or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. The word of the Lord. Our psalm is Psalm 112. We'll read responsively. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments.
Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance.
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire upon their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold up their head with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and pine away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who were being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Well, good morning.
I'm happy to see you again and glad to be back with you here in the house of the Lord this morning. As I said earlier, my name's Heather McCain, and I was with you earlier this year when your pastor was recuperating from surgery, and now it's good to be back again while he's on continuing education. So I'm thankful for this opportunity to serve here at St. Andrew's this morning. This morning, I'd like to speak with you from this thought, that Jesus is our spiritual director. Some of us turn to human spiritual directors for guidance, the same way we would go to a counselor, the same way we would go to a therapist, the same way we would go to a doctor if we're in need of physical healing. We seek out a spiritual director to help us, to meet with us, to talk with us one-on-one, and to guide us in the way. So if Jesus actually fulfills that role for us, we can go to him in prayer for guidance, for counsel, for insight, for wisdom, and he actually can give us knowledge of how to direct our path, how we can walk in the path of the way of life. We all have been trained and schooled in how to follow directions. If it's as simple as the directions on a new recipe, or last night I opened a new box of mac and cheese. I wanted to try one that's gluten-free, and it was something new for me, so I just followed the directions on the box. Whether we're putting together a new piece of furniture or doing a school assignment in class, I work as a teacher from Monday through Friday over at Lang Middle School. I'm always telling students, please follow the directions. Or whether we're setting up a new piece of equipment that we got for a birthday or for Christmas, we are accustomed to looking at the directions and following step by step what we should be doing to make things work. So the passage from the Bible that we're reading this morning from Luke chapter 14 is full of Jesus giving us directions on how to be a Christ follower, how to walk in the way that gives us life and peace. And the directions that we're hearing in this chapter are somewhat challenging for us. Jesus is watching people, watching their actions, and also listening to their words. And then when he observes how they're doing things, he's telling them to change their ways, saying, this is not how you should be acting. This is not what you should be saying. But instead, do it this way. And time after time, as we go through the chapter, we hear a piece of advice, a piece of counsel, or a direction that he's giving us as to how we should live. So let's take this chapter little by little and look at what he's saying to us this morning. If we look at chapter 14 as a whole, it's a good idea to see what immediately precedes and what immediately follows the chapter. And right at the end of chapter 13, there's a statement that rings very familiar to most of our ears. It says, indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and those who are first who will be last. So we think about how we normally want to line up for something. And in the kingdom that Jesus is showing us, it's the opposite. It's an upside down kingdom where the last are first and the first are last. And putting our mind around that concept sometimes is perplexing for us or confusing. Why would it be so in God's kingdom? Another challenging thing that Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, verse 27, is that anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. That's a big one. People who don't pick up their cross daily and shoulder it and follow after Jesus cannot be his disciple. He's talking about what cost there is to discipleship. And he even talks about allegiance, how we must find allegiance to Christ above all else, even our closest family members. So he says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So Jesus from time to time made these statements that to us sound hard, confusing, perplexing, and difficult. He told people that he is the true bread from heaven. He said, my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And when he said that teaching, some of his disciples were so confused, so perplexed, that they said, this is a hard teaching, Jesus. Who can accept it? But it helps to remember that just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and God's thoughts than our thoughts. So if we take these perplexing or confusing teachings in and just try to sit with them and ask to ourselves, what is Jesus wanting us to learn? How are we to be acting and living differently? How can we change our ways to be more in line with him? Then actually we can hear his directions and we can hear what he would like us to do, to give up our old ways and start embracing his new ways. So as we move into our passage for this morning, the first thing that happens in chapter 14 is Jesus actually heals someone on the Sabbath. And a lot of people around him had an expectation that he would not do any type of healing on the Jewish Sabbath. That was what they considered work, and you were not supposed to work on a day of rest. But Jesus asks them, wait a minute, if your son or your ox fell into the well on the Sabbath day, wouldn't you just immediately rescue that son or that animal by pulling him out of the well? Of course they would. They would want to have compassion on their child or on their animal. So Jesus, by asking that question, was asking them to change their thoughts about what's acceptable on the Sabbath and enlarge them to include compassion. Just plain old compassion. Just be a little more merciful. Last night, I read an article about a woman who needed that type of genuine, normal, everyday compassion. She was in Kansas City, in a prison, as an inmate in a jail cell, and she was in labor. And at 5 a.m, she began to feel the labor pains, and she asked the people who were guarding to please call someone, get an ambulance, and let her go to the hospital. Take her to the hospital so that she could have the baby. I don't know whether she wasn't believed, but for some reason, nobody did so. Nobody took compassion on this mother who was beginning to labor. And about 5.5 hours later, she indeed had her son, her child, in the jail cell alone. Fortunately, her health was good, and she had the baby without any health issues. And fortunately, the baby was strong and healthy and came out just fine. So we can see God at work in that situation. God's hand was present with her. God was with her, even though no human being came to her aid. But what would have been nice is if someone had heard her cries, heard her distress, and taken upon themselves to just have a little compassion, a little bit of mercy, a little bit of human kindness, and to call up and get her a ride so that she could have that birth take place in the comfort and medical safety of a hospital. Jesus wants us to be people of compassion. The next lesson that we find in chapter 14 is that Jesus wants an emphasis upon humility. He's saying that we should humble ourselves in the sight of God, because in due time, the humble will be exalted. We hear this scripture from 1 Peter. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon God, because God cares for you. He gives grace to those who are humble. So Jesus tells us that true humility doesn't mean meekly surrendering to an ugly, destructive way of life, but it means surrender to God's will, which is quite a different thing. Humility prepares us for the realization of God's will for us. It shows us the benefits we gain from doing away with our own way, and finally, realizing how our own self-will can contribute to our distress. And then for us to adopt an attitude that is true humility, that confers dignity and grace on us and strengthens us to take an intelligent spiritual action in solving our problems. We're not talking about humiliation. That's not the true humility Jesus wants for us. Jesus is just talking about right relationship, where we are taking the place at the table that's right for us, not at the head where Jesus should be, but one of a multitude, a great banquet, as I described to the children, that we each, every single one of us, has a place within that family of God. That right relationship enables us to be a part of God's marvelous kingdom. So Jesus is directing us, giving us directions to become as compassionate as we can, to create right relationship with God and take our true and natural place at the table. And then the third lesson in this chapter is when we actually entertain friends. Who should we invite? It's the parable of the luncheon or the dinner. Jesus says, I don't want you to invite your friends or your brothers and relatives or your rich neighbors, because all of those people could invite you back and then you would be repaid. Why don't you take it a step further and reach out with your invitation to those who are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, people you might not normally think of inviting. And that way you will be blessed in a different kind of way, because although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid by God at the resurrection of the righteous. So Jesus is asking us to stretch ourselves out into a place beyond our comfort zone, to reach out and invite people to the great banquet that we're not necessarily used to relating to. People that we might not normally think of sitting down with and eating at the same table with. And that gives us a foretaste of what is to come in heaven. That Jesus is saying, I'm your spiritual director. I'm giving you directions on how to live differently, how to embrace a new way of life that's more like me. And at the end of the chapter, he invites us to this great banquet. And although people are giving excuses of why they can't come, he's encouraging us not to have an excuse, but just to remember that on the day of our baptism, we were sealed with that seal, the mark of Jesus Christ, and stamped as approved. We are marked as Christ's own forever. And from that day forward, we are just getting better and better. I've heard it said that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the last, meaning that every single day he gives us directions on how to live our life. He guides us in the way that will be truly satisfying to us. And we conform ourselves more and more to the image of God. And that's what's called sanctification, becoming more holy. And in this process of becoming more and more holy, we remember that in Jesus, we have a friend, a best friend, who directs us, who guides our path, who chooses our way for us, who will never leave us or forsake us, who is all good, all powerful, all loving, who loves us more than we could ever possibly love ourselves. He's beside us constantly, helping us and giving us directions and showing us how to make decisions to live righteously. He's for us, not against us. And when we adopt his way of life, we are actively choosing to be happier in the long run because he has already redeemed us. In him, the whole creation has been renewed. Forgiveness reigns now. And everything that is right, everything that is true, everything that is good, everything that is merciful and kind and peaceful and just has come to us simply because we have put our faith and trust in the one who died for us at Calvary. When he died and was raised 3 days later, he proved to the whole world that love truly heals, and that in any kind of a crisis, even a type of crisis that we're in here in this country now with a public health crisis that we read about in the daily newspapers, in which people are losing their life because of gun violence, at a time like this, love still heals. Love is still the strongest power in the universe. It has the power to cure all evil and to solve all national problems. This love, this power, is not our own power. It's not something we find in and of ourselves. It's when we find true humility and do away with selfish things. We then are free to open to this incredible power that's found in Christ alone. And in that power, we have unity with other Christians, unity around the globe, with the family of faith. But even more so, we have unity with all of our brothers and sisters in the human family, that we are all one in trying to reconstruct a new earth where those big problems can indeed be solved. Even those that seem overwhelming to us can be solved in the name of Christ. There is a kingdom of grace that is so beyond anything that could drag us down. It is the kingdom that is merciful and just, kind and true. It's the kingdom that we've already sung about in today's hymns. One thing I love about St. Andrews is that whenever I come to your church, I can so clearly hear the message of God in your music. And this morning I heard about this incredible kingdom of love just right from the very first song we sang. So here in this kingdom, we take the wine and the water. We take the bread of new birth. Here we call our Here you shall call your sons and your daughters. Call us to anew to be salt for the earth. Give us to drink the wine of compassion. Give us to eat the bread that is you. Nourish us well and teach us to fashion lives that are holy and hearts that are true. So let us listen to every word and trust that God is present here in this place, here in these lyrics, here in our lives of faith. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at saintandrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.